I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome in to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, May 28th, 2020, just after 10 a.m. Thanks, as always, for checking us out. Danny, how is your Thursday morning going?
Thursday morning better than Wednesday, buddy. We had a tough one yesterday. Remember, we've had a few of these quarantine meltdowns where everybody's somehow in an argument or yelling feud or irritation with somebody. It was this great big circle of Discord. Yesterday stunk, man. Not going to lie to you. But today is a brand spanking new day. I guess thunderstorms today? Is that what's on the Darnell docket for us?
Have not looked. Haven't even checked the weather. I don't leave my house normally until about 2:15. Mm-hmm. So normally my routine is I finish up the show, I go upstairs, I get a protein bar, I ask Alexa what the weather's going to be, look outside, and either take the baby for a walk or figure out something to do around the house for a little while. My big job today, though, This is a first for me. This is a first-time purchase.
All right.
I have to go to Target, or wherever I'm going to end up going, but Target's my best guess right now, as soon as we are done, because I'm getting the smallest little plastic kiddie pool for the cheapest amount of money that I can get to put out back this weekend.
The greatest investment of all time. It's the greatest investment of all time.
Well, I found one online yesterday that's literally $9.99, so maybe that's a cheapo that I shouldn't get, but that's probably what I'm going to end up doing right now.
The mileage, money's worth you'll get out of that is... it's worth 50 times that. You'll go through several of these over the course of kids' lives. It is the best investment you can make. I'm telling you, it is endless hours of fun. You won't understand why she likes it so much. You'll be confused. So what are you doing? Why are you pouring water from one container into another? Why are you just simply pouring water back into the tub? You won't care. It will be she'll be amused. She'll be so happy. You'll be so at peace. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
The Madam President loves the bathtub and is a big fan, really, in general, of any kind of water. Like yesterday, or a couple days ago, I guess now, over the weekend, I cut the grass, and right afterwards I turn on the sprinkler in our little, I would call it a backyard, but it's more of a back patch of grass that we have.
Sure.
So I turn on a little sprinkler to make sure that it was getting some water and taking care of it, and she just kind of wandered out there, came back like soaking wet, just perfectly cool with it. So I said, you know what, it is time for the baby pool in the backyard. So that's my big mission today. I told you, one job a day for me. Something. Doesn't have to be getting out of the house necessarily. It could be something to get done in the basement or a project at the new house. But I got to accomplish one thing every day, and then I feel like the day wasn't a complete waste.
That's how you do it. You space it out, right? You. It's better to have things checked off the list than to make the list grow. So I'm with you, dude. It's as long as you have that like small step forward. You don't necessarily have to say, hey, I climbed Kilimanjaro today, right? You know, I climbed Mount Everest today, but I got up a small hill. You can't climb to the top of a mountain without taking a major stride forward. And if your major stride is buying a kiddie pool for $9.99, something that on a normal day would be the 37th thing you did that day, you feel accomplishment. You do your touchdown dance, buddy. You spike it.
I'm a superhero. I'll wear my cape to and from getting that pool. Because what an accomplishment it is.
Where's my theme music?
A $10 baby pool. We've been checking in with different members of our staff every day. So we talked to Chad on Tuesday after the holiday. Yesterday, Johnny Cakes Allville joined us. Today, the very elusive, very difficult to track down, Jason Bishbucks Bishop will be on the show, we're told, at 10:45. So we had the choice. Do you try to track down Barack Obama? Or do you try your hand at Jason Bishop? And despite it being a little bit more difficult, it sounds like we have lined up a conversation with old Bishbucks for 10:45 today. I want to ask him about Phil Mickelson, wanting to do this match annually that just got the unbelievable ratings. Who should they have in their foursome with Ian Tiger if they were to run this back again during the pandemic? Who's the next two superstar sports icons like Peyton and Brady that they should team up with? So we could talk to him about that, as well as how life is treating him amid COVID-19 as he and his family, like the rest of us, try to get through it. But how about that? Jay Bish today.
Wow. I still am in disbelief. I'll count my chickens when I see the actual.
I was going to say, let's wait till it happens, I guess, before we claim total victory, right?
But you mentioned trying to book Barack Obama. What would Grant Obama say about coming on the Grant and Danny show?
Well, my daughters go to Sidwell Friends.
Well, but that has nothing to do with our show, sir. Why are you talking about Sidwell Friends?
Thank you for the invite. I am happy to be here. Means a lot to me and Michelle. My daughters go to Sidwell Friends.
I love Grant Obama. I do. I'm a sucker for it. I'll be honest with you.
I can't get too far away from my buoy.
Sidwell Friends, yeah.
And I can't get that. I can drive the boat out into the waters a little bit, but I always have to come right back and tie up to that one buoy 39.
Yeah.
And that's my daughters go to Sidwell Friends. It's like my pitch whistle, you know. It's like,
sure, I get it, dude.
Da de da de da. I've got I got to come back and just make sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
I hear the tuning fork. Like,
what do you think of the White Sox? I like Michael Kopech, and I think they've got some good young talent.
And where do your daughters
go? As well
go?
As Sidwell Friends, as a baseball team, my daughters go to Sidwell Friends.
I love it.
That's about what I got for you. Speaking of baseball, Garrett Brosius, who used to play in the minors for many years, he's now into the law game. He is one of the leaders, most outspoken people on kind of minor leaguers being taken advantage of over the last several years. The Oakland A's have decided they're not going to pay their minor leaguers at all after this month. A bunch of teams are making tough decisions, so we'll get with him on that. He'll also break down the players versus the owners part of the Major League Baseball fight to return. And it is a fight. Make no bones about it. So here's where we are.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the owners, as we found out, waited on the players to come back to them after they had submitted a proposal. Remember, the owners and the players agreed when baseball got shut down while you and I were at spring training that players were going to take a massive pay cut, and players were cool with that, basically a prorated portion of 162 games, whatever they played. So if they played 80, they get that percent of 162. If they played 81, they get 50%. And they would take massive pay cuts to their salary, and the owners agreed to that. Well, I guess at that time, owners didn't have the thought in advance that there would be no games with fans in the stands, which is now very possible and even probable this season, and they didn't know just how much they'd be out in terms of money this season. So they have now come back to the players, even though there's been an agreement financially, and said, well, we can't do that. But we are willing to play baseball and to have you guys come back and to foot the bill for the sport if you're able to take another massive pay cut. So guys like, say, Max Scherzer, who are in that $35 million range, end up making single-digit million dollars for this season. And the players who agreed to their first pay cut obviously don't want this one and are deciding, well, we'll just take our ball and go home and we'll wait for you to offer something else because this isn't fair or decent, and it's certainly not what we agreed to. Max Scherzer last night brought the heat like he would against a batter who had no chance. This is what he tweeted, his statement. After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe Major League Baseball's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. The players are really mad about, I guess, three things. One, that they've been bait and switched. Two, that the books are not open for these owners who refuse to show what they make, where the money comes from, and how much they'll be out if baseball is played this year. And maybe players will be more willing to work with you if it was bad, but they won't open their books so you can even find out. And the third thing from talking to some players, and you kind of hear it here from Scherzer, they hate how much this is negotiated through the media by the owners with their sources by the teams, you know, leaking information. They think if it was kind of just done privately with the books being open, that this could get done. So those are the player gripes. You know how this works. They'll be the bad guys in the eyes of the fans, as they always are, because they're millionaires and a lot of people are out jobs and taking pay cuts right now. But there's no other way to look at this other than that the owners agreed to something. If they stuck to that, we'd be at spring training perhaps in a week. They haven't, and now the players have to take another pay cut or they can play hardball.
This is smart by the owners. They're negotiating very shrewdly. And they put the ball in the players' court, and the players have to get all their, you know, players in a row, and they've got to make sure everybody understands, and they've done a thing where the lower-ended guys are going to be hurt way less by this, and they're asking the top-ended guys, you know, the marketable superstars, they've got some buyer's remorse, talking about the owners, giving a guy $35, $40 million, AAV, you know, huge deals, et cetera. Those now look worse when it comes to making payroll, right? So the lower-ended guys, 60-some percent of Major League Baseball players make less than $1 million. And no one should cry poverty for them, because a lot of people would like to make that money doing a lot of different things, but they don't have the skill set that these guys do. So they know that a huge percentage of the players won't be as put out by this as some of the stars, as some of the veterans, and they're pitting the groups against each other. This really feels scummy by the owners. The idea that a business owner somehow might not have a great year seems so abhorrent to them that they're willing to do whatever it takes. I got news. There's no rule. There's no law that says because you own a professional sports franchise, you have to be able to print money that year, that your skyrocketing value will never stop, and there's going to be a difficult time. 1-800-432-1000. That's the number for Bank of America. Get a loan like everybody else to make payroll, you scumbags. It's unbelievable to me that they're trying. No, let me rephrase. It's not unbelievable to me that they're trying this. It's very believable. But it seems so ridiculous that they get public money. The financing is taken care of. They get tax breaks. They get all these kinds of benefits. And the idea that they might have to struggle through a challenging year, which is challenging for everybody, by, you know, cutting the legs out from these players that are the very reason people come to the ballpark, it feels really underhanded to me. And I understand the players' frustration, led by Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I do too. I completely get it. But the owners know how this works. They kind of hide in the background, and they name the rules to the game. And it's a game right now that the players can't win. They lose if they come back and basically get raked over the coals financially, because they negotiate a year from now on a new CBA, and they start from this negotiation. So they set themselves back years as a union financially, just to quote-unquote do the right thing. And people still won't – I mean, it's not like they'll view them as heroes or thank them. I mean, they're just doing what they should be doing. Or they actually hold out and play hardball and try to win this back and forth with owners, and they will be despised, and they will potentially lose fans. I mean, yesterday, in just posting what Max Scherzer said, I can't tell you how many people via social media were telling me how – flawed the players' logic is, and how they were the bad guys. And that's how this is always kind of seen, because they're the face. You see them. You don't see the face of the owners here. You don't hear from them. They kind of pull the strings through the media the way that they want to. But you know, they've got all the pieces where they want them. They can call checkmate whenever they'd like, generally. But the players, if they hold strong, have enough leverage to say, well, I guess we don't have to play then. The question for you guys is this, and we'd love to hear from you at 800-636-1067. Do fans understand that the players are getting screwed here and not care? Those of you that say, go play, you're millionaires, so what? Do you get that the players are being wronged and just not care? 800-636-1067. Or do you not think that they are being wronged? Or do you side with the owners who are the billionaires here? Which I've never really gotten. If you're mad at the millionaires, some of them, by the way, are not. Some of these guys aren't close to being millionaires. They make a handful of $100,000 a year for a couple years, and they're out of baseball. But if you're mad at them, then you're siding with people who make billions of dollars, benefiting from them, and then telling them how the game is played. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. You can call us at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. there was an agreement between owners and players on a pay cut that players were going to take back when spring training was halted. Players would get paid the prorated portion of their salary for this year based on how many games they played, which to me is very, very fair, reasonable on both sides. Now, there's another substantial pay cut that coming down the pike if the owners get their way, and the players are saying, well, wait a second, we had an agreement, why would we do that? Not to mention, this is an odd season where we may be away from our families, where we are going to be putting ourselves at more risk than we normally would. Very reasonable response, I would say, from the players. Now, are there good guys and bad guys? I'm not sure that it's that simple when you're dealing with billionaires, millionaires fighting over money. But, as is often the case, Danny, the owners hold all the cards. We don't really have the ability to look at their books to see if they're telling the truth when they say, we'll be losing money to have a season. Because that's the claim that has come out, is that there are certain owners basically saying, if we play a season without fans, we're losing money anyway. Well, how would we know? We've never seen your books. And that's, I think, one of the big frustrations for the players. But my question, Danny, is, and you can answer this, and hopefully we'll get some calls to do so as well at 800-636-1067. For the fans that just say, play ball, you know, for the fans that get mad at the players, do they understand that the players are being wronged, or do they just not care? Because if they were in the exact same situation at their job with the leverage and the ability to not get jobbed by the people that make the decisions, I would think that they'd do their best to try to hold strong as well.
And this is, and I know what, I'm going to go to both sides of my mouth here, but comparing a normal industry to Major League Baseball or professional sports in general is a slippery slope. Okay, when it comes to the players and their skill sets, I've never gone to a stadium hoping to catch a glimpse of the owner, right? And maybe he'll do something. I go there to see the excellence. I go there to see the players, okay? And the players, by the way, already agreed to something very reasonable, which is a prorated part of their salaries. And any less money that they would take, to me, should have been offset by the idea, and this is whether you want to dismiss this or not, there is a certain amount of extra risk that they're taking on. The owners are risk-free here. They're going to be insulated. They'll sit in their owner's box or they'll stay home. The players are the ones that are going to sacrifice things to continue to provide the entertainment. So they've already agreed to a prorated part of their salaries. That makes sense. I'm sorry if the billionaire this year doesn't get to make as much money as he normally would. So I've already said don't compare it to normal business, and now I'm about to compare it to normal business. When you own something, that's the reason you make the most money when you own the thing, is because you took the risk early on. When everyone was out there in the wilderness saying it's not going to work and you said, no, it is going to work, you took on the loan. You took on the debt. You've got the payroll. There is risk in running business. That's worldwide. Sorry about that. And when something happens that's out of your control, you have to deal with that. Like every other American has dealt with adversity when it comes to opening and running a business. This is a normal thing that happens, in the sense that it's abnormal, but you lose money sometimes. It's a hard year sometimes. There are bridge loans. There are small business loans. Ask the guy that runs the restaurant down the street from Nats Park what he's supposed to do to make payroll, to stay open, to pay the rent, to deal with his landlords, etc. You're just a bigger fish than they are, but you got to do the exact same thing. I'm sorry you don't get to make money hand over fist this year. Nobody really is at this point, unless you make masks or are making a vaccine. Other than that, every company is going to get kicked in the teeth. Your turn to get kicked in the teeth, billionaire. You've already got tax breaks. You've already got my money coming and going. You got the money that I gave you with taxes. Then you got the money from the public. Then you get tax breaks. And then you're charging the public to come in and watch the product, which we'll happily do when we're allowed to again. This is the time that the billionaire needs to say, this isn't going to be a great year for me. Sorry that has to happen. It's not a guaranteed money club. It's a team ownership.
Like the rest of us. It's been a bad year for everybody, right? I mean, Traveler Bus says players are being selfish. What about owners? I guess would be my first question. And number two, how selfish are they being? They have agreed to taking a pay cut of half of their salary already. They have already agreed to that. They had no problem doing that, by the way. That took 6 seconds. They just said, oh, yeah, if we don't play a full season, we'll just take whatever we're supposed to make over X number of games. They could have, you know, I think they easily could have tried to fight for their full salaries because they had nothing to do with it. They chose not to do that. Just like when my company comes to me and says, hey, we need you to take a pay cut during this pandemic. I could say, I signed a contract. You signed a contract. But you know what I did? Of course I didn't do that. I said, yeah, I completely understand. No problem. Just like the players did. Now, what if your company comes back to you and says, hey, that agreement we had, never mind, you're actually going to take this much more. That's what's happening right now. Jim on Twitter says, I don't side with one group or the other when it's millionaires and billionaires. The only issue for me is guys like Blake Snell saying he's got to get his for risking his life. I'm a first responder. That offends me. Blake Snell's comment was ridiculous. His entire rant was idiotic and stupid. Baseball players would be best served not letting him talk publicly anymore during this pandemic, as far as I'm
That's
concerned.
That's a great way to put it, yes.
Because they're not necessarily wrong with what they're saying, but his points were misguided and stupid. So I agree with you, Jim. You should be offended by that comment. Now, is he putting himself at risk? Of course he is. But as a first responder, to hear that he says he's putting his life on the line to go play baseball while being tested every single day, while no one's allowed to interact with him, while all the people around him are being tested as well, with all of the ramifications and things baseball's going to do to try to keep him healthy, completely overstated. Jennifer on Scherzer's tweet last night said, very strong response by Max and the union. By the way, for those of you that don't know, and this is kind of cool here in D.C., Scherzer's the Nats union rep, but he's way more than that. He is essentially the guy. So he is on the executive committee for players. But I talk a lot to a couple specific players who are pretty plugged in on this just to get intel and information. And one of them was telling me that Scherzer is basically like the dude. There's a couple of them in Major League Baseball, but Max is the guy that they all follow kind of in these meetings, so to speak. So he's ours, and he's the leader, which is neat. But Jennifer goes on to say, now the two sides can decide if they can work together to get a deal. As they have many times before, many fans will be upset, but we know what the players make. We have no idea what the teams make. Which is a great point. You know, the books are not open. And I will say what I've been saying over the last few weeks. I haven't changed my opinion. If there's no baseball, that will be a sports travesty. Yep. If there is no baseball, it will feel criminally awful for both the owners and the players to not figure this out. Okay? I can tell you two things. One is, I think that the players are being wronged, and the offer that they got was unfair, and in a million years they shouldn't sign that. So if your response is to come back and say, call us back when you got a better idea, no problem. This is the beginning of a negotiation. So right now, this is about what I kind of expected. The owners did something absurd. The players said that's absurd. We're not even countering it. And that's where we are in this stalemate. If we're still here, though, a month from now, that's unforgivable on both sides. Someone's going to have to be the first to walk out onto the dance floor and possibly get rejected. You can't just sit there and wait for the other to call, because then you're both the bad guy. Because there's too much at stake for the country. There's too much good that baseball can do economically and from a mental health standpoint for people emotionally who need sports to return. 800-636-1067. That's some of the tweets. Danny, if you see any you like, grab them. We can read them next segment. Also, we'll get to the calls. Some of you lining up now at 800-636-1067. Remember, Bish Bucks from the Junkies, Jason Bishop at 1045, for checking in today on Grant and Danny. Yesterday, Scott Turner met with the media on Zoom. Today, it was Jack Del Rio's day. Del Rio seemed like a really cool guy. That's the kind of dude you'd want to hang with and have at the house for a barbecue. But he's got a pretty good thing going right now, Danny. Think about it. He comes out of semi-retirement or whatever he was doing to be the defensive coordinator on a team with Ron Rivera as a head coach. So you got a built-in, excellent voice to bounce things off of, who's been a DC and a head coach for a long, long time, calling his own plays on that side of the ball. You're making a seven-figure salary to coach Chase Young to get to the quarterback. You got that defensive line of Ioannidis Allen and Payne and Landon Collins making what he does on the back end. Now, clearly the corner situation is going to make you earn your paycheck, but you could do a lot worse than coming to Washington to coach the defense. You think about like Scott Turner, who's unproven and has very little to work with, including a quarterback. We're not really sure how good he is yet. Del Rio's got a sweet thing working here.
Yeah, so it's the opposite of the Jay Gruden era, right? He would do the unproven, wouldn't have a job anywhere else defensive coordinator. The Redskins are going the opposite direction this time. This is under Ron Rivera. You've got the highly competent defensive staff with a defensive-minded head coach in Rivera, just a leader, CEO type, and the unproven, you know, good good lineage in terms of offensive minds. His dad certainly could coordinate some offense as good as anybody. But you're hoping that Scott Turner's the next genius. He's the next McVay, you know, kind of be the next hot shot with a flat top and abs that can coordinate some offense. You're hoping he's the next big thing here in D.C. He's going to have to be because this was the worst offense in football last year. And he's got his work cut out for him in terms of that. But, yeah, Del Rio won a lot of fans over by, like, responding to some tweets and a couple things. Like, he cherry-picked a couple. Like, yesterday, somebody was talking about the all-white uniforms that I love so much with the burgundy socks that I think look so sharp and so clean. And he was like, yeah, let's wear those. And I swooned. I fell for it. I'm like, give me Jack Del Rio. He's the best. Just, I'm a rube.
He wore a suit
care.
On the sidelines at one point with, like, a top hat. And he had me right where he wanted me.
I'm in.
I've always thought he was a cool dude. Right now we're talking about players versus owners in Major League Baseball. The COVID-19 planning and the fears of the pandemic, either having a second wave or infiltrating clubhouses, has taken the back seat to these two sides not being able to agree on money to even get to where the NHL is now, where you've got a plan and a format for a return. Baseball can't even get there because the owners and the players cannot agree on the financials. We're asking you guys, because it seems like the common refrain on a national level is that the players are being greedy. Do you get that they are being wronged by the owners here because they had an agreement that they're getting baited and switched on and just not care? Or do you think people don't understand that? Let's go to Billy in Warrington online, too. How are you, Billy? What's up?
Good. Hey, guys. First of all, great show. You guys do a great job of having intelligent takes on the topics of the day. So great job. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, until the owners open the books, you really can't have a fair negotiation. I'm a business owner. Obviously not a billionaire, but a business owner. And, I mean, it's a simple equation. Let's say, you know, a player's making $100 and revenue's cut by half, you pay them 50. And that's kind of what they already did back in March. Well, until we know how much money is being lost by lack of fans and related revenue with food and beverage and merchandise and parking, until we know that number, the players can't negotiate. So if the owners show that, hey, we're losing another 50% of revenue based on no fans, then the players can say, okay, we'll take a quarter of the pay for half the work. I mean, but until that happens, you really can't negotiate fairly. And as much as I want baseball back, and I do, the players can't cut a deal until they see the numbers. That's really the bottom line.
Thank you, buddy.
Look, you're looking at it from a really prudent, practical business sense. And I think anyone who does that is going to see it the way you just described it. It's a very, very smart, just cerebral way of looking at this. It's pragmatic. I think more people than not, Danny, just have the emotion. Like, I was on the phone with my brother yesterday, and he was basically doing the hot take of, these guys are millionaires. You know, they don't know how many of us have lost jobs, how many of us have taken pay cuts. And I'm not blaming people for that way of thinking. This has been a crippling economic time, and there are people that don't know how they're going to pay their mortgage next month or how they're going to put food on the table weeks from now. I understand the dire situation that a lot of people find themselves in financially. And it's not easy to hear players and owners screaming at each other, but it doesn't mean that they should take a terrible deal. I don't think that 1 + 1 = 2 here.
By the way, not all of them are millionaires. I think I want to keep pointing that out. Now, many are. You know, when you talk about a high rarefied air percentage of the league that's making $30 million a pop, $35 million a pop, whatever it is, and good on them. These are the elite players that drive gate revenues, that drive television revenues, that are the superstars of this league, right? So those guys are the headliners, but 60%+ of baseball, those guys make less than $1 million a year. And I'm not asking you to feel bad for them. Simply saying that's the reality of the situation. So the players, by the way, have already agreed to take a pay cut. There was nothing unreasonable about saying, yeah, we're going to play less games, so we should make less money. They figured that out. That's intuitive and that's obvious. And they agreed to that. The thing that I would add on to what Billy said, though, I think it was a very good call, when obviously you don't know what the owners are going to lose. And the owners, by the way, have been able to push out this narrative for years. Woe is me. We're losing money every year. I don't know how we're going to make it. Why would anybody ever own a team if it was really that dire? It's a book cooking situation that owners have done forever. And they've been able to pass this on to the public because you don't actually see their receipts. You don't actually see it. Not all of us are accountants to be able to figure out if they're losing money or not. I guarantee you that in a normal year, all these owners are not, quote, losing money hand over fist the way they want to make it, the claim that they make, and they're just allowing us out of their wonderful hearts to allow our amusement to continue, and they're sacrificing their financial well-being just so we can have some games. And that's the way that they want themselves portrayed. It's nonsense. It's a lie. They will not make as much money this year, and they may lose some money this year, just like the rest of us. This can be the time where you have a tough year like the rest of the country. This needs to be on the people that own these teams and benefit immensely from public support that the rest of the business world cannot simply count on, simply because the uniforms are cool. This, to me, is the time for the billionaires, and I won't stop talking about the billionaires, to step up and say, we're not going to have the greatest year ever. We'll be the ones to sacrifice, not the commodity, not the excellent players, not the people that folks come to see.
Yeah, a couple million more people claimed unemployment, right? I think that number's up to close to 40 million at this point now in this country from what I saw today. 2 million in the latest week and 40 million total. Jeff talking about that on Twitter says, here's a question. If they don't play, do they think the networks will still pay baseball? If they don't, will Max get his 25 or 30 million? Well, no, of course he won't, but he's not worried about getting that 30 million or 35 million this year. He's worried about making sure that players don't set themselves back as far as their salaries for years and years and years to come. Because if they just play the nice guys now and they just show up in a week and sign this terrible deal, number one, people will just say, well, you did what you should anyway. It's not like they get anything for doing the right thing. No one's going to put them over and be positive. That's not how this is going to work. But on top of that, they now feel the pain from that in terms of negotiating from that standpoint and that starting point for years and years and years to come. And that's where that they feel like they can't give in now, because if they do, it's not like the owners will say, well, that was just during the pandemic. Let's get you back up to the numbers you were at before. That's just not how negotiating works. Next, we're checking in with a different member of the staff every day. Today, the elusive Jason Bishop from the Sports Junkies right here on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan at 11 o'clock at the top of the hour. We've been talking about the baseball structure at the major league level. What about in the minors? I mean, the Oakland A's were paying their players $400 a month during this pandemic to just try to help them out, and they're not going to be doing that anymore, and there's a lot of outrage about that. We'll talk to Garrett Brocious about that decision and what's going on with minor league baseball players, because people sleep, man. They have absolutely nobody thinking or supporting them generally. I mean, the amount that those guys that are not high draft picks and not top prospects make is just a tiny little pittance. But just brutal, Danny, for those guys to try to make ends meet right now. What are they going to do? I guess they're just getting jobs in their community where they can. Everyone else is looking for the same gigs.
I know, dude. And what else can you do? You're trying to stay in shape to chase your dream, and you want to keep that going as well because it requires an awful lot of sacrifice and commitment. But at the same time, you know, what's going in your pocket?
All right, let's get to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to continue our checking in series. We have talked to Chad Dukes. We have had Cakes Allville on the show. Next up, the elusive Jason Bishop. Lurch is with us. Bish Bucks, how are you, buddy?
Buddy.
How are you doing today?
What's up? How you doing, man?
How you doing? We're good. What are you up to today?
I'm driving to Springfield, VA, because I have a meeting with the new general manager of the Priority Toyota dealership over there. His name's Anthony Woods. We all have our own car dealerships, and that's mine, endorsements, and that's mine. So got to go over there for a little lunch meeting.
Big day, my friend. That is awesome. Are you getting a new ride, or are you just meet and greet?
No, just a meet and greet because he's relatively new. But believe me, I'm going to ask him what the deal is if I can upgrade any of my vehicles. I'll throw that out there 100%. But as long as it doesn't cost me any money. It can't cost me any money, though.
Right.
I didn't think you would throw that out there. That doesn't sound like something you would do at all. Hey, some of your boys on the show have been joning a little bit. How much has your life changed during this pandemic, Bish Bucks? They make it sound like you're just grinding away, just doing your normal thing.
So they've been joning on me in particular?
Well, when I listen to the show, they laugh. They're like, oh, yeah, you're just doing the same thing you were doing before. Like, how much has your life actually changed during all this?
Oh, I got you, because of, you know, playing golf and everything. Well, it started with golf because Virginia's governor didn't close the golf courses like Hogan did, right? So they were jealous of that. Well, Cakes wasn't, but the other guys were. So that never changed. I'll tell you what, golf just kind of kept me sane. If I didn't have golf in March and April and early May, I don't know what I would have jumped off a building. Because, you know, my daughters are at home. You know, my daughter, well, her semester's over at Tech, but she was at home taking her online courses. My younger daughter's doing her virtual learning, which is a complete joke. None of these high school students are doing anything. But you're right. I mean, for the most part, besides being able to go out to a restaurant, yeah, life didn't change much.
But you're missing some of your staple centers, right? You're missing some of your normal haunts and hangouts where, you know, you're chasing Peter Pan with your Captain Hook. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting some of that special treatment. That's not happening for you right now.
Well, that's true. I mean, there are certain restaurants that I like to go to where they take care of me, so that didn't happen. That stopped. So I don't know how that's going to go forward. I haven't even talked to some of those store owners or store managers because I don't know. I mean, I know that Virginia is going to ease a little bit of the restrictions tomorrow, but I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to take advantage of that. People are still scared, man.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I mean, just walking around Ashburn or wherever, you just see people with masks and they're, you know, they see you, they go the opposite direction. I was never really like that. I just wanted to keep going and just forge ahead, but I can see why people were terrified of the deal. But luckily, we're all safe, man. We're all safe and healthy.
That's good. When you go to the grocery store, are you the guy not in a mask or do you wear a mask?
Well, my wife won't allow me to go without the mask. So unless I go, you know, by myself on my own, which I rarely do, I usually just drive her over there and I sit in the car and screw around on my phone until she comes out because she's got the full-blown Darth Vader mask on. She's taking it really serious.
There you go. So then, Bish, you said that the online learning for your daughter's been a joke. I mean, should they, like, a joke enough that you would say they shouldn't even bother doing it, just punt on the school year? Or, like, how bad is it?
Well, I don't know how it varies county to county. And private schools are different. Private schools are making you do something. But the public schools, at least in our county, Loudoun, they're not even grading your courses. They're not fact-checking. They're not doing anything. They're just – you basically just turn something in and the teachers are satisfied. You know what I mean? So they're not learning anything really. So that part's kind of a joke. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it varies county to county. Like I said, private schools I know are a little bit more difficult. But when you're not grading, what's the motivation to do anything? You know, it's technically pass-fail.
Jason Bishop, Sports Junkies, with us here on Grant and Danny. We tracked him down, our white whale. He is back on the program after swearing he would never join us ever again. It's a big deal to get him back on. Jason, could you tell us biggest fight you've gotten in with your spouse during this pandemic situation? I got in a huge one yesterday. I'm not even sure what it was about, honestly. Just everyone's in a terrible mood with the two little kids at home. Biggest fight you've gotten in?
Man, you put me on the spot. Let's see. Well, recently, it's just all the Amazon orders. That's what it is. It's all, like, the Amazon guy's at my house three times a week. I mean, it's a joke. And so we have this room down in our basement. She wants to make it like a workout room. Right now, it's just got, I don't have a bench down there, but I got bands and dumbbells and a bar. But she wants to make it a full-blown workout room because her and my daughters do these YouTube videos, like, for 30 minutes, so she wants to change the flooring, and I'm fine with the carpet we have down there. It's just the old carpet. But she wants to tear up the carpet and put this, like, these pads down, and they're like a couple $100. I mean, I took a salary cut. Did you guys take a salary cut? Because I did.
We did. I was going to say, at least you didn't take a haircut during all this, Bish.
We did.
I mean, we took a haircut, bro. I mean, I got a pinch.
You took like six level six clippers, right? You barely had any hair cut off, just a little tiny bit that fell on the floor?
No, I got a major haircut, bro.
I don't know
what your deal was, but I took a pretty big hit.
We got a basic training haircut.
Yeah, exactly. I got basic training. I mean, I guess our company didn't want us to pay college tuition. They just didn't care about that.
They didn't get size for that.
I mean, I care about it, but they didn't care about it.
They didn't care as much.
Hey, I loved the match. Danny didn't watch or care that much, but I got to tell you, I think I even texted you during it at some point. It was awesome. I hope they do it again soon with another couple of stars. Who would you want to see with Tiger and Phil? Or should they mix up the golfers? Like, is Phil Mickelson terrible now? Why was he hacking
is he bad, Jason?
Over the place?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's raining. He's got the earpiece in, and, like, there was static. I mean, he probably had some distractions that we're not used to, that golfers certainly aren't used to. And then it was, you know, it was pouring down rain. You know, Brady's hacking it up with him, his partner. I mean, he's just basically playing two-on-one. He's probably hadn't played that much. I mean, he's got four kids, got some teenagers. He's probably just enjoying his cash. I don't know. I mean, he looked pretty good when he drove the green, that par four, and he was about 15 feet from the pin.
Yeah, he had moments, but that, he was, like, hitting out into the woods and out of the sand. I'm like, what is this guy doing? I just didn't know maybe Tiger and, like, you go with Brooks Koepka or DJ or something if it has the same appeal if you go get two new stars like Steph Curry and LeBron or something like that.
Well, I think that those other guys, they're just like, if you thought Tiger was quiet, then Koepka, he's going to be a mute. I mean, Rory might be a little different. I think Mickelson just has a – I think he's got a sneaky, you know, in a nerdy, geeky way, good personality. I mean, he likes to talk, and he likes to joan and likes to talk smack a little bit, right? But those other guys, the younger guys, they wouldn't be able – I don't think they'd feel comfortable doing that around Tiger. But Mickelson could pull that off. But I don't know. I mean – Curry would be great. Jordan and Curry with those guys, but I don't think Jordan would ever put himself out there. I don't think he doesn't like the spotlight that much.
Yeah, he had plenty of it during his playing career. I think you're probably right about that. Jason, triumphant return to the program. Thank you very much, dude. Appreciate it. Have a great meeting.
That's all I get? Damn.
Yeah, we
got to
go. Our segments are short.
Here's what you don't get. We don't get the junkies clock, which I would love to have, where you guys get these like 20-minute segments. We just get started. You get us going, and then we got to go to break. We have to stay on a very stringent baby little clock to help us out a little bit. We don't get to let our hair down like the junks and just kind of do whatever we want with the clock. Right. We don't get that.
All right. Okay. All right. In 20 years, you'll probably get that.
Let's hope. If we're still around in 20 years. I'll give you half my salary.
You will be.
How about that?
You will be. Both you boys will be. You'll be fine.
We'll have you on the show then. I'll tell you what. In 20 years, we'll book you every day.
All right.
Are you going to be doing 20 years? Are the junks still going to be putting along, or are you going to be doing a podcast? Are you going to be retired? What is the Bish Bucks going to be doing in 20 years?
When I'm 70, there's no chance I'm doing the junks. The junks will be a distant memory, my friend. Are you kidding me? I'm out. I'm so out. I'm going to be enjoying my cash, hopefully, my 401k, keep it growing. I'm going to be living down in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. That's where I want to go.
We'll be hitting you up in retirement. He's going to be talking about the latest golfer out of the University of Texas or something. All right, Jason. Be good, buddy.
All right, boys.
See you, pal.
All right, boys. Have fun. See you.
Check it in. That's how we do it. Maybe EB or a JP tomorrow to finish up the week strong. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Garrett Brosius next on what's going on with minor league baseball players who aren't going to be paid at all for the rest of the season.
Guys, Danny Ruglia here from Appals and Ted Britt Ford. Let them help you navigate this bizarre time that we are all in. They've been doing this, not navigating bizarre times, but helping to lend a hand. They've been doing this for 60-plus years at Ted Britt Ford. They've been getting you great deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs made by the wonderful Ford Corporation, and they've been giving it to you at an incredible value, and they get you a little something called Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, confidence for life, including powertrains, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life. They've been doing that for 60-plus years. These guys are great. Right now, they got a little something called the Built to Lend a Hand program. That means 0% financing for 84 months on new 2019 Ford models. 0% financing for 72 months on new 2020s, plus no payments for 6 months. That's pretty good. 2019 F-150 from your F-150 HQ. How about $14,700 off the MSRP, people? You got to go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford, Fairfax, Chantilly.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.